This episode of Before the Train Wreck podcast is brought to you by the Grondike Soap Company. Guys, I use Tactical Soap and God of War Beard Oil every single day. Tactical Soap is a handmade natural product made in the United States of America from ingredients you can actually pronounce, not endocrine disrupting chemicals that are going to lower your testosterone. Both the soap and beard oil is infused with bioidentical pheromones that are designed by a clinical psychologist and pheromone expert to maximize attractiveness to the opposite sex. Go visit coopersoap.com and that will automatically apply 10% off your order. Consider grabbing one of the trifecta packs to save even more. If you are a bearded man and want a majestic beard like yours truly, the God of War Beard Oil is hands down the best beard oil product I've ever used. Gentlemen, this is the most manly handmade soap that we know of. Other soaps are going to get you clean. This one will get you dirty. Again, you're going to want to visit coopersoap.com now and place your order. That's Cooper, C-O-O-P-E-R, soap.com now. All right, guys, what is up, my brothers? We're on episode number 56 of the Before the Train Wreck series. And my guest tonight is a man that has been divorced and decided to go on a little bit of an excursion on a site called Seeking Arrangements, which will aforementioned be called the site throughout the rest of this broadcast, as you eloquently did in your book. I don't have a lot of time to read. I'm trying to finish my book. This is your novel. It's about 200 odd pages, 300 pages, was it?
330 something. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Large font, so guys like me with bad eyesight can read it. And if I'm looking at it correctly, the cover, the way that you described it towards the end was, This is the pile of rocks that the sailors would crash their boat into, as so eloquently described in Robert Greene's Art of Seduction, The Siren. Yeah.
It's kind of a, I can't remember the word for it, but it's like an analogy of men's situation at the moment. You've got all these girls on this website that look very beautiful and are very seductive and everything like that. And it's potentially a shipwreck for you if you're not careful.
So, good book. Enjoyed it. When you sent it over to me, I had B Rob on a couple of years ago, who wrote another book, and he's a younger guy. I think he was in his late 20s when he wrote Salty. And his perspective entering that was a couple of years earlier from a younger man's age. Your experience here was in your early 40s. I think you said 43.
Yeah, 43. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. And it was about a six, seven month excursion. Before we get into the book and your story and why guys need to understand this and the train wreck element of it, because this is really what we're trying to help guys avoid, is making a train wreck out of their life. But kind of give them the Batman origin story about how you arrived at, getting into salt dating after, or sugar dating, salt dating, whatever it is you want to call it, after your knot was untied with your marriage. Because you kind of got into a scenario the way that you described it in the book, the way that I understood it anyway, where you ended up going through the process of betatization by 1,000 concessions, and you ended up being her second choice. And it was like almost like you were a plow horse in the marriage, and there was no arousal from her. Like there was no real attraction sense. Yeah, it was more like friendship.
Well, it kind of, as you say, it was a death by a thousand cuts. So what happened was, I think my situation is a little bit different from a lot of guys out there. I think I have to make that known straight off the bat. But look, you know, I met my missus back when I was like 20 years old. I thought she was obviously the most beautiful thing in the world. After a fairly long courtship, ended up getting married and doing other things, buying houses and everything like that. And I think one of the main things that ended up being the death of our marriage, which we actually thought was a good thing to start off with, was that we were both accountants. When I met her, I was a young accountant, junior accountant, working my way up, and she was starting accountancy. But she was like really into accounting, and I was just kind of like, oh yeah, I probably prefer to be like a sound engineer or something, but yeah, this is just where I've laid, because I didn't really have any career path. Anyway, we both ended up going through our careers. We ended up working together a couple of times, and but her career, she was just so focused on being an accountant and being like the best accountant she could possibly be. That her career, I think, naturally overtook mine, whereas I was always more of the entrepreneurial one and I was always a much bigger risk taker. She was just like staying the course and ended up being quite a successful business person in Perth. I live in Perth, Western Australia. And she became quite well-known in the resource sector as being the girl to get things done. Anyway, we ended up going into business in South Africa together. We ended up, I'm in a very lucky position where I'm financially quite independent now because of what we did back in 2005, 2006, where we relisted and restarted up a bunch of diamond and platinum mines in South Africa. And we also made a lot of money from the GFC. I was running a IT company at the same time. But after all that happened, this is a real long-winded story, but after
No,
all
we
that
need
happened,
the Batman origin story.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, we do need the Batman story. But after all that happened, I kind of just went, look, I'm so done with all this accounting bull crap, that I wanted to change careers. I wanted to be a writer. I wanted to pursue things in human development and human behavior and everything like that. And I just kind of went, look, we've got enough money. Like, you know, I'm done here. And so I just decided I'm pursuing something else. I'm done here. And I basically became more or less like a stay-at-home father while I was pursuing this, you know, writing career and, you know, doing all this other stuff and indulging myself a bit. And so I think from that case, it didn't kind of matter where I, this is a really important point. It didn't matter how financially stable you were. It's like she just kind of saw me as being, what's the word for it? Kind of like not useful anymore. And so and she was the breadwinner and, you know, I became like a problem to her safety. And so that's when it all started going wrong. She didn't, you know, obviously wasn't attracted to somebody who she was basically, you know, caring for. And I was like, oh, we could both take, you know, 5 years off if we wanted to and not do anything. But, you know, she became the main breadwinner and I was just indulging myself. And that was the beginning of the end. So
I just want to kind of marinate on that for a sec. So I was just thinking because I put a video out in the last 2 or 3 weeks on why women leave good men. I believe was the title. I'm just looking for it. I think that was it. And you essentially described what I put in that video where it's where guys stop chasing excellence and she can no longer look up to you. Like nothing turns That's off a woman more when guys relax. Women hate it when guys relax.
Yeah.
You have to, you can't, you know, you can't take time off or if you do, it can't be for that long. Cause in her head somewhere, there's a clock ticking down to some point, some line in the sand, some date in the calendar that she may have marked that said, right, if Stuart hasn't got it sorted by this date, I'm going to have to start doing something or looking for an exit strategy.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate it's that way. And most guys don't understand that. But the reality of what you described there is so accurate. And sorry, you carry on. Because, I mean, this is where the knot started to untie for you.
I was basically essentially deemed incompetent by her, you know, even though I was like working on something else. And so anyway, we ended up splitting up and that's when the real fun started. I do have to say, look, I'm still friends with my ex. I'm still very good friends with my ex. And I have to admit that I don't have a bad word to say about her because when we went through the divorce machine, it was probably quite a different experience to what most people experience. I was very lucky that I married a reasonable person right off the bat. This is probably pretty, I don't know how many people are going to believe this, but my whole divorce cost ended up, it only cost me $300 to get divorced. Nice. And that was because I didn't use a lawyer. I think I went and saw a lawyer once and she had a lawyer who was, and this is a really interesting thing, her lawyer was pushing really hard for her to take everything, you know, all custody and everything like that, of course. Yep. And she was actually the one who would be going, no, I don't want to screw my ex-husband over. My daughter needs her father. You know, we need to make this as chilled out and drama-free as possible. You Mr. Lawyer, are creating all the drama here, so you can piss off.
It sounds like you were already in a position where you were the primary caregiver too, because you were basically a stay-at-home dad. So when she's not at school, you're doing most of the parenting, yeah?
That is correct. Yeah, that's correct.
Difficult to change that precedent too. But anyway, So not starting to untie. She's no longer that interested in the marriage. No. What happens from there?
Yeah, we both aren't. So at that stage, like the only thing that really kind of ties got a bit difficult was we were both seeing other people by this stage, And that was starting to create problems. And this is kind of like the start of my, I don't know, what do you want to call it, red pill journey or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. But I ended up getting involved in somebody who really did a number on me. I would say that she had she was a covert narcissist in
this
retrospect.
This is a French lady?
No. This is a girl. I think I might have, in one of the chapters I mentioned her fairly briefly, but she was a mother from the school my daughter was going to. And I thought that she was in the middle of a separation/divorce. However, and we started carrying on, you know, like teenagers do. And it turns out that her husband didn't know anything about what was going on. And when I'm being quite, you know, honest and truthful here, I don't know how much trouble this is going to get me into. But yeah, her husband didn't know. Her husband ended up finding out about the two of us, and that created a whole bunch of drama. And she didn't want to stop seeing me, and she wanted to get her husband to look after the kids while she was kept on carrying on with me. So that all went down. But like she was, yeah, not my finest moment in time, and she was definitely not somebody I really want. She ended up being a covert narcissist. I'm not a psychologist, but that's what I can put it down to. She had all sorts of BPD, you know, traits and everything like that. She did real number. She was gaslighting me and everything. So that all ended up really badly. I got really...
You guys were still separated at the time, living in the same house or?
Yeah, separated, living in the same house. You know, I took your advice, Rich. I didn't get out of... And my parents were telling me the exact same. Do not leave the house. You know, stay in the house. Stay, have access to your child. And when this all blows over, then you can move out and all that kind of stuff.
So
all this is going down. So I'm all heartbroken. You know, I'm disappointed about my marriage breaking up, but I'm also heartbroken about this silly girl that I'd, you know, become attached to. So anyway, I get out, you know, on my own. I've got my own house now. And I started dating traditionally, in a traditional sense. And that's when this all kind of hit me that, you know, I didn't realize what the entitlement level was of all these girls that I was meeting out there. And they were just like, you know, your single moms, maybe, you know, 5 or 6 years younger than me. But they all thought that they were like, you know, guys were just like disposable to them. That's the only way I could put it. And, you know, like I was writing my book, you know, I was like totally, I don't know, blue-pilled or whatever you want to call it.
What was the age range that you were dating in at that time?
Oh, well, okay. Moms? So I was 41 and they would have been 35, 34, around about there.
Yeah.
And but they still had this attitude of, you know, I can get pretty much anybody I wanted. Guys are just like, whatever. You know, I remember this one Colombian girl that I was dating made me wait outside for her. Wouldn't even invite me in to her house. Made me wait outside for her in the driveway in my car for 45 minutes. And I stayed there like a bloody chump waiting for her. So
you're obviously still plugged in at this time, putting women up on a pedestal.
Oh God. Yeah. Cause like,
I wouldn't wait for 4 minutes now. Right. Like if it's
exactly. It's like, you know,
I'll be out and putting on my makeup. Like if I'm sitting there for 4 minutes, I'm gone. Like forget it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Not generally now I'm the bloody late one, to be honest. You know, to dates. So anyway, so that all happened. And then I think I got to the stage. By this stage, I discovered like Rollo Tomasi and everything because I was just, and it was the French girl that you mentioned before that kind of set it all off.
Mm-hmm.
She was trying
all sorts of things. She was the one that sent you to the red pill.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah. Because I remember she rang me up. I just started my own like YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was all about her. And she just, I'd done a video. And she rang me up almost in the middle of the night. She just watched this video, come across my, you know, video, and started berating me about this video that I'd done. And I was going, I can ride whatever I want. I, you know, I could do whatever I want. Why are you trying to tell me not, you know, I can't do this? Mm. And she was like saying, well, you know, it's all over if you don't take this video down, blah, 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 blah. You know, and I was just going, okay, bye, you know. And then she, that was it. That's the last time. I think what she said to me, yeah, she said something, well, I hope you have fun with your hand. I still remember that time that, you know, it was in her, you know, sexy French accent.
Yeah.
But the last thing that she said to me was, oh, well, I hope you have fun with your hand. And then she just slammed the phone down. That was the end of that. Is and that then I remember the, just like,
what to say when she says she just wants to be friends, 8 tips?
Yes, yeah, that's it, yeah. And if you watch that video, it's like cringeworthy. It's like totally cringeworthy. I don't know what the hell
this is.
Thinking.
Okay, so this is an old one here. So I'm going to give you a little bit of plug. So here's the video. I want you guys to open up in a new browser. Watch it afterwards. But here it is.
Please don't. Go ahead. Okay, so keep going.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So so that happened, and I've discovered you guys by now, and it was just like, holy shit, I've been doing everything wrong, you know. Yeah. I was watching also a lot of pickup stuff. I'd done some pickup. And, yeah, eventually I ended up coming across the B-Rob video that you released. And it was kind of like the answer to all the questions that I'd been having. Like, why am I having so many problems with all these girls who are essentially low-quality girls? Like, they look nice, but, you know, I'm getting killed out here, you know, like, why am I getting so killed? And so, like, I decided, okay, right, okay, well, I've watched this B-Rob video.
When you say killed, like, aside from being, like, waiting in your car for 45 minutes for a girl to come out on a date and the entitlement, like, what else were you dealing with?
Well, I'm just doing dumb things like that, and it's all been driven by, a scarcity mindset. Mm-hmm. So, like, oh, my God, she's the only girl, you know, that I've got going on here right now. So, you know, oh, I've got to try to do anything I can possibly do because she's my only avenue to, you know, copulation. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like I even had some Vietnamese girl do a full-on background check using a private eye, mm-hmm. you know, try to investigate on me. And, like, I was just like, that was a total invasion of privacy on her, you know, part. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why did you do that? And she was like, oh, you know, I know I'm screwed up. I need to go and fix myself. But, you know, we broke up. And then she was ending up seeing somebody and doing exactly the same thing to the, you know, to the next person. So there's a whole bunch of screwed up girls out there that I wasn't, you know, aware of because I had a pretty cool relationship with my ex-wife still, you know, I wasn't ready for all of this. And so I discovered B-Rob's video eventually and I thought, well, this could be the answer to all of, you know, my problems. Salt dating, you know, there's all these beautiful girls. I did some research, you know, and found out that all these girls, they're all young, they're all beautiful and everything like that. But what happens if, like, you know, I think I've got the skills to do this properly, you know, I've got the resources to do this properly, you know, and maybe not have to pay for this, you know, if I don't have to. And look, I'm just going to throw myself out there and just see what happens, basically. And then I ended up writing a book about, you know, what ended up actually happening. So, yeah, it was a very interesting journey, Rich.
You didn't cover every girl that you met in the book. I think you mentioned towards the end when you covered each girl in each chapter that you left about half of them out, was it?
No, it wasn't half of them out. It was it was about a third, yeah. Yeah,
third,
like
okay.
That. Yep.
And you made a point early on that you found the conversion rate, the response rate, the close rate, like everything went up dramatically from conventional. Like you said, you were getting cleaned out and basically having a horrible experience after the divorce, dating in the conventional sense of things and coming across a lot of entitled women. What were you doing to date? Was it cold approach? Was it dating apps? Like what were you doing at that time?
A whole bunch of things. Yeah, cold approach. I don't have a problem just going up and chatting to anybody, you know. I was using a lot of dating apps. I stayed away from Tinder. At least I did that right. I don't know if you guys get RSVP over there. If you guys
don't have
it's about the biggest one in Australia. It's RSVP. Okay. So I was using that. And then, like, yeah, when I came across Seeking Arrangement, which I found, you know, through B-Rob, Yeah, I thought I'll give this a go instead. Maybe the
how popular was it in Perth? Like, what's the like? Are there a lot of women on it?
It's definitely becoming pretty popular. But however, the good thing about it, the good thing that I found was that there were six girls to every one guy in Perth. So there's a lot of girls out there. It's probably more considering the current situation that we're in now. Yeah. But yeah, there seem to be a hell of a lot of girls on there. A lot of uni students, a lot of single mums out there kind of like needing a guy to kind of rescue them. So yeah, I mean, you can question the morality of what I did to a certain extent. But one thing I really wanted to do was I wanted to be able to sleep at night after I did this. Mm-hmm. And so I did make some rules for myself, and one of them was not to lie to the girls about anything that I was doing. And the whole idea was I wanted to do some of my own research to see if I could use what I've been told about what hypergamy is all about and everything like that, mm-hmm. and apply that in probably the most extreme form of dating, which is dating sugar babies, and mm-hmm. seeing if I could get them just using their natural sense of hypergamy to sleep with me, basically, you know.
What was the age range that you were dating in when it came to that?
Oh, God. Okay, so the oldest was about 35, and the youngest, please don't look at me badly, but the youngest was 20. So she was 23 years younger than me. Yeah, it's legal. So it ranged. They were all very different from one another. And one thing that I did find is that you have to learn how to be able to play what's in front of you. You can't kind of generalize, oh, all the girls are going to be like this and I can just do the same thing for every single girl. They're going to come across completely different from one another. And, yeah, you just have to play what's in front of you, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you this question because I helped a friend promote a online pickup course a couple of weeks ago, and there's always a lot of pushback from guys that are subscribing to the quitter's mindset. Oh, it's all about looks. If you don't look good, you're not going to get anywhere. If you're not at least looking like a Chad, Brad Pitt, you know, like the standard Hollywood sort of guy.
Hemsworth, yeah.
You're not over 6 foot tall, right?
No, I'm 5 foot nine.
Yeah, so you're 5 foot nine. So you're not as tall as what a lot of these guys preach. And I mean, you've said in your book that you don't consider yourself a great looking guy, but not an ugly guy, obviously. So you placed yourself somewhere in the middle. But I mean, yeah. I mean, you guys judge. You have your eyes, but you obviously had a relatively good experience based on the way you wrote the book and some of the story. I mean, a lot of these we're not going to talk about here live on YouTube, but we're going to kind of water it down and maybe kind of bring you through them. Let me just, I mean, you obviously probably know these names off by heart, but let me just kind of grab a couple here because you got some.
Yeah, they're pseudonyms, so yeah, you changing the names of all the girls.
What do we hear? Jessica, regaining the faith in system.
Yeah, okay, yep.
What was Jessica like? If you can kind of describe it in a watered down sort of way.
She was a good looking
girl too. Let's see if we got.
That's her photo. Yeah, no, yeah. She's a Fitspo model. She was 22. Yeah, 22-year-old Fitspo model. She had an Instagram form. She had 40,000 Instagram followers that I didn't know about. Sorry?
Like a blue check mark Instagram model or?
I have no idea. I don't even know what that means. I'm not an Instagram. I don't know what that means.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I don't know. But she was so into her fitness and everything I actually dated her for a bit, mm-hmm. and she was so into her fitness that there wasn't any room for anything else. Mm-hmm. And it was really, she was in the end, she ended up talking about like taking steroids and everything like that.
Was she muscular or was she like fit?
She was fit. Yeah.
Fit, but not she muscular. Fit. Like not a bodybuilder.
No. She wasn't, but she was more like a body sculptor, I suppose you could say. I don't know you know what I mean? Yeah.
Instagram button model.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but she had, look, one thing I'll say, if there's one commonality between all of the girls, it's that they all tend to have some form of daddy issues or they've been mistreated by men in the past or abused by their father or some significant male, you know, a male person in their life. And so she had that really, really bad. I'm assuming that she was trying to get some sort of validation from me. But one thing that was really interesting about her Instagram, follow was that she was, it seemed as though it was more about control of men from speaking to her. It wasn't about like the validation, like we always talk about like women wanting validation for men, and that's why they go onto Instagram and, you know, attract all these followers, you know, and it's just for, you know, validation.
Well, validation in general, like from men and women.
From her perspective, because of her past, it seemed to be from just talking to her that it was more about like having control over the way that men like saw her or interacted with her, because obviously something had happened to her in her past.
Approval.
Where no, it wasn't about that. I think something had happened to her in her past. She didn't really go into it in too much detail, but something happened to her in her past where she didn't have control of her body, if you understand, if you can read between what I'm trying to say. And I think from that, she was trying to gain control over men and the way men perceived her and saw her.
It's a power play on the site then.
Yeah, it is. Essentially, it is. But that's kind of like the way that it came across. It was really interesting. It was, yeah. But she needed help, that girl.
Can you take us through Kelly popping? So it says here chapter, Kelly popping my salt dating Cherry the hard way. Kelly was a 27-year-old born and bred American girl from Ohio.
Yeah. I think she was running away from her family. Her father had just died, I remember, and also her mother was had just been diagnosed with cancer. So she did the, you know, honorable thing and just ran away from the whole situation. She was the first one, and I really didn't really know what I was doing to an extent. I was just playing it by ear. But we went out, had a good time, drank a fair bit, and then this is where it got really interesting. We ended up fooling around in a bar, in the middle of the night, and, you know, and that carried on into the room. And then, I'll try to do the watered down version. But she's pretty much sans clothes, so she doesn't have anything on. But then all of a sudden, in the middle of all this, she goes, we haven't talked about finances yet. And I was just like, what are you talking about? And then she goes, well, I can't do this for nothing. Like, what are you going to give me to do this? And I was like, well, nothing. Like, I thought we're having fun. Like, why don't we just keep doing this, you know? And then it just turned into it. I probably shouldn't have played that game with her, but it ended up degrading into like this 45-minute long negotiation with a naked girl while she's rubbing herself all over me and trying to get me to part with my money. And I actually feel quite proud of myself at the moment, because I was like, no, I'm not giving you anything. I will not give you anything. And look, it sucked all the sexual tension out of the room anyway. And so I was kind of like, oh, can you just go now? I'm sorry. I don't even want to do anything with you anymore. You know?
Did you ever get yourself into like a typical arrangement the way the site describes it, or I guess the intent and purpose of it is? Or was it mostly just, look, I'm a seasoned gentleman and I'm taking you out for drinks and a meal, or we're going to stay in this hotel tonight, or go into this rooftop. That should be sufficient. Like, I didn't get a lot of clarity on that part in the book. Okay. It seemed like it was mostly the latter, though.
Yeah, well, I think I stated in the book that I contacted, I don't know, 300 girls or something. And so you end up kind of like paring all the girls down, because most of the girls, the majority of the girls are like, well, like, when are you going to give me to, you know, even have a drink with me? You know, it's like $300 for a drink. You know, I'm like, well, if there's no way around this, well, I'm
They're
obviously
trying
to
charge
going
to you
do that.
Up front to come and sit
it's called a pay per meet. And so, like, they're trying to get you to do this. And the problem is they're used to a lot of the guys just, you know, capitulating to this and doing this. And so all of a sudden I'm like, no, you know, this, it's like basically my way or the highway, or this just ain't going down. Cause like there's six of you to one of me, you know, so I'm the one with the choice here. So after a while, you end up figuring out just through casual texting and everything like that, who's more amenable to being salt dated and who's amenable to just going out on a regular date, on a normal date, and just seeing what happens. And then you just kind of like weed out the ones who are just more interested in just the money, because you don't want to do anything with those girls anyway. Like, why would you want to? You're going to feel as though you're being used up, and it's just not going to be worth it anyway. Mm. Like, you want someone to be like naturally attracted to you. And I'm obviously not going to be attractive to every girl out there, but I might be attracted to some of them, you know, and that's the ones that you should be focused on. Mm. You know, it's like, it's just like YouTube, you know, it's like, yeah. You know, you can't appeal to everybody, but you can appeal to some people, and they're the ones you should be focused on.
Yeah, I want to talk about validational versus transactional intimacy in a second. Let me just grab these super chats real quick. There's a guy that actually set up a YouTube handle under Rich Cooper's used TRT needle. Thanks. He says, keep saving lives, Rich. You definitely saved me. Thanks for the $2 and the interesting handle. Neo has a question for you. He says, hey, Stuart, curious, have you seen a pattern on women who give the less headaches with correlation with their age? Also recommended mile range filter. I guess that means age range filter? Mile range filter?
Mile range filter? Oh, okay.
Miles,
all right.
50 miles. Okay.
So, okay. Well, that's an interesting one. So the first question is in terms of age, older women come with different problems than the younger women do. The younger women are just like, they know that their sexual market's at their peak, so they can get away with more. And so they tend to act a bit more entitled. And there's also, since I'm 44 years old, there's this like age gap that you're dealing with. You know, when they talk about Cardi B or whatever, I don't know who the hell's famous nowadays, you know, in music or whatever, you're just like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And some of them can be pretty vacuous. You know, they're still fun, but they're going like, did you go to school? Do you know how to read? Mm. You know, have you ever read a book? And so you kind of have like a problem, like, you know, relating to anything on any, you know, in any kind of deeper level. But the older women obviously come with the baggage that comes with being in abusive relationships and everything. And there was a girl I talk about, I think I call her Francesca in the book, but I ended up, she, you know, poo tested me for like a hell of a long time because she just didn't trust herself that she had made the right decision being with me. And so I ended up getting all these shit tests from her because she didn't know who the hell I was, you know, and she didn't trust that I was the person I said I was. And that was really, that was just painful to deal with. So you got to just, yeah, like every girl's different and they're all going to have their different problems, you know. In terms of the recommended mile range filter, that is, it depends on kind of like how into you they are, the distance they're willing to travel. I had one girl come down from Bunbury. I actually ended up seeing her for a couple of months, and she would travel down from Bunbury into Perth, which is about 300 kilometers away. And she was used to long trips because she was actually she was the least likely looking diesel mechanic, heavy diesel mechanic in the mining industry that you've ever seen in your entire life. If I showed you a picture of her, you'd go like,
looking on the map. Wow.
Yeah, it's like 300 kilometers or something, I think, 250 kilometers. And she would travel up to see me in Australia. I have no idea. She maybe, I don't know, maybe she just thought I was cute or something like that. Or you know, we did have a
You didn't travel to her, though. She was traveling to you.
I did once because I was down south looking after somebody's dog. So, like, it was kind of like I was in the vicinity anyway. So I did once. But most of the time, she traveled up to see me.
Yeah.
So, and she was a really cool chick, I have to admit. You know, she was probably one of the ones with her head screwed on properly because she had a proper job. She was earning a lot of money in the mining industry. She had, like, her own house, a couple of cars. She had, a couple of sports cars and everything like that. So we spent a lot of time talking about cars and, you know, whatever, because I'm into cars as well. But yeah, she was so young. She was like 22 years old, but we had a lot of like values in common, which was really interesting. But yeah, I still miss that girl, I have to admit, to some degree. She was, yeah, anyway. Go ahead. Oh, no, I was just going to say, but to answer your question, I mean, I usually set it to about 50 kilometers, but it depends on where you are in the world. Like, you want to have like a large, you know, pool of girls to choose from, because you're going to go through them pretty rapidly. Because like to get the ball rolling, I was sending out like 30 emails a day, or 30 messages a day, trying to get, you know, a few of them to respond. And I had a response rate of, I think it was about like 60%. So, but that's where I am now. It might be different where you are. You know, I don't know what kind of...
When it comes to the mile range filter that you're asking about, Neo, my take on it is not mile, it's time. Because I'm in the Toronto suburbs. I don't know if you know the area, but traveling south into Toronto would basically, like, if I were to drive 50 miles south into Toronto, that could take me 2.5 hours. If I were to drive north, northwest, or something like that, it might only take me 20 minutes to drive 50 miles. So I wouldn't look at it as a mile radius. I'd look at it as time spent. And you have to decide what your time is worth. So if you don't value your time and you don't have a lot of options and you have a scarcity mindset, you might drive 3 hours to go and see a girl, which is never anything you ever want to do, because it's always a bad approach to something like this. Having her come 3 hours to you is a good sign, though. So, you know, the flip side of the coin is beneficial from that sense. I also wanted to deal with the validational intimacy versus transactional, because you kind of touched on it a little bit towards the end. And validational is enthusiastic, no holds barred, no, Stuart, we need to have an arrangement before we do anything. It's validational was the experience that you had with that girl in the backseat of your car 20 minutes after you met her. What was her name?
I think she's Sarah in the, obviously it's not her real name, but Sarah in the book.
It wasn't even 20 minutes. I think the way you described it was like within minutes of you seeing her. That's that's validational.
But it wasn't kind of like, oh, I don't know, like a Tinder kind of hook. I've been chatting to this girl for, you know, about a month before.
Yeah. You've laid some groundwork.
Like, we just could, like you lay your groundwork and everything like that.
It was close the deal within minutes, because that's validational intimacy. Transactional, on the other hand, is making you jump through all kinds of hoops, driving 3 hours to go see her. You're spending, you know, she's got a pay per meet quota, $300, you know, let's say. She wants you to pay for a hotel, give you a gift card for something, put you on an allowance or something like that before she'll even give you a peck on the cheek. And your experience as a guy getting into an engagement like that is going to be terrible, because you're trading money for intimacy. It's transactional. It's like paying for prostitution or for an escort, which I know is legal in Australia, but that's not going to be your best experience as a guy. The one that I could tell the way that you wrote the book was the one that met you in the parking lot and you guys got it on within like minutes of getting in the car and hopping in the back seat. I could tell the way that you described the story. That was like, that is a story that you're never going to forget. Like, you'll be on your deathbed thinking about that, perhaps.
Yeah, I was just like, what the hell is going on here? I didn't even think this was possible. Right. But yeah, that was pretty crazy. But because, you know, maybe it was my mindset, I didn't really think that it was actually possible. I had to approach that thing, that particular meetup, with a hell of a lot of trepidation. I didn't know if I was going to be, got to be really careful. Because you don't know what this is.
Yeah, it could go sideways completely.
Yeah, it could go really sideways. Because like, I remember I rocked up and she had a car parked in the parking lot. And I just had my full beams on in my car. And I was like scanning around the place, wondering whether I'm going to get attacked by her boyfriend, you know, for whatever reason.
So I'm taking you guys to the scams and entitlement chapter next, but carry on.
Yeah, that one. But yeah, so she was like a completely genuine chick. I think she just had a fairly high sex drive and just wanted it right then and there, you know?
All right, so take us to scams and entitlement, because this is before the train wreck. So what do you guys need to know so they don't make a train wreck out of their life getting involved in something like this if they choose to go down this path?
Okay. Well, one thing that I would probably definitely advise is I wouldn't go and do what I did unless, like, if you're lonely, if you're feeling desperate, or you know, you really need a, you know, or you're mad at women. That's another reason. If you're genuine, like, if you're a genuine misogynist and you hate women, you know, and you're lonely and desperate, it's going to put you in a terrible negotiating position with the girls, because, you know, the fact of the matter is, like, you know, you're going to need to walk away from a lot of opportunities. Really juicy opportunities that present themselves to you. And if you can't do that, you don't have the self-control, if you don't have the emotional self-control to just go, look, this is not a good deal for me, you know, I value myself higher than this, then you're going to end up getting, because these girls are really good looking, you know, and you're going to look at them and you're going to go, oh my God, you know, I wouldn't mind, you know, having that for the night. If you can't do that because the deal isn't good enough, then it's going to send you broke. There's no other way of putting it. So that would be the main thing that I would want to tell people. So you've got to get yourself right in the head before you do this. And I did a hell of a lot of work on myself before I even approached this. And even so, like, I was still having a hell of a lot of trouble, like, not justifying what I was doing, but like trying to kind of, I still had problems like, you know, like how am I supposed to perform here? I had performance problems. I'm just going to say that, you know, performance anxiety issues, like while I was doing that, because, you know, oh, these girls are so beautiful. Oh, what if they don't like me? You know, all that kind of stuff. I was still going through that at that stage. The other thing is that I wouldn't go on this site if you're looking for a long-term relationship. You can have like short-term relationships, but I definitely wouldn't even bother doing it for a long-term relationship. I just think that's just a bad way to go, because you're not coming to, you know, from a financial level. There's always going to be this stigma held over you that you did meet on this site, and that will hang over you. And she's going to have certain expectations of, you know, like your role in the relationship, you know.
You did mention towards the end of the book that at the time of writing this book, you had kind of turned one of the girls into an LTR, or you just kind of settled on one of them at the time.
Yeah, she was the Dutch girl we were talking about before.
You were talking about that before we went live, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And she was, we just had a lot of common, we just clicked.
She was the exception why, though, is basically what I'm asking you.
She was the, sorry, what was that?
She was the exception to the don't turn her into a relationship off the site rule, but why?
Yeah, so she was, but when I did that, and she was the one I dated for the longest time, you know, while I was doing this.
What was long?
Was, I think we lasted like 3 or 4 months, and that was it.
And what was your average kind of relationship with one of these women? Was it
like a couple of days ago? Yeah, a few dates, couple of weeks, but it's all very casual. Like, you know, you do something and then you disappear for a couple of weeks, and then, like, you know, then you get this message, hey, how's it going? And then it's back on again and everything like that. So you're not really having a kind of like a – it's just a casual thing with most of them. But this one I was actually kind of seeing like quite regularly. And as I was saying to you before, this particular girl, she was a Dutch girl. She was 26, and her best friend who was an international supermodel. I know it sounds as though like I'm bollocking, but her best friend was an international supermodel. She was married to like some really kind of alpha guy who was like racing cars and everything like that. And I spoke to him, spoke to the two of them, and they were pretty cool. They were really cool people. But she had this expectation for herself that, like, for her friend, she was very good looking herself, but if her friend can get a good guy, you know, with means and everything like that, then I should be able to, you know, get a guy. So she had abandoned her boyfriend in Perth, who was also Dutch, but apparently she was saying that she was the main breadwinner and everything, and she was going that, you know, I just want a guy who has his own money, who can like look after me if need be, and, you know, help me set myself up, you know, and, you know, we can just go. And so we ended up hanging out and everything like that for quite a while. But then her issues with money, which I have to say to her credit, that she kind of never made them mine, just started getting on top of both of us, in terms of like she would be constantly complaining, oh, you know, I haven't got money for this, I haven't got money for that, it's not your problem, I know it's my problem, or you don't have to do anything, you know. And I'd be like, well, okay, this is just starting. At some stage, you're going to expect me to take care of all of your issues for you, and I could, but that's not my problem. We haven't been going out long enough, so I'm glad that you realize that these are all your problems, but at some stage it's going to go south really quickly, and I need to kind of get out of this because my boundaries, you know, can only last so long
You know? Did you find that women, generally speaking, on that site would try to make their problems your problems more often than on regular sites, or was it just a different approach?
No, it's about the same, I have to admit. There's that difference. I really can't.
So it doesn't matter if you meet somebody off Bumble or off Seeking.
Nah, absolutely not. I didn't see any reason. Any difference. Yeah. Like, you know, like if you're the single moms, they're all the same, you know. Mm-hmm. They all pretend that they're still kind of, you know, picky and choosy, but what they really want is a guy who can, you know, kind of take care of their problems for them. Yeah, and so you just have to have boundaries and just say, well, that's not really my problem.
The biggest difference from your experience was they've all got problems. They all try to make their problems your problems, but on the site, they're younger and prettier.
Yes. Got it.
But I will have to say, were you using any other dating apps? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Rich, that look, I think one thing that I've come to realize is that I don't know how this is going to go over with the audience or anything like that, but I would say that most people out there, men and women, are like fairly kind of they have a lot of issues in their life. There's not too many people out there who are pretty much drama free, and so I think you just have to keep that in mind when you're dealing with anybody out there. That most people's lives are just absolutely full of drama. And like, I'm very lucky that I don't have any kind of that drama. And when you're not used to having drama in your life, and somebody brings that in, just like, oh, this is not what I'm used to, and I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah, well, I find that accountants, for the most part, or guys that are trained in numbers, are fairly drama free because they don't tolerate risk and drama in their life to begin with. I know that Aaron Cleary, I'm sure you know who he is, but he was telling me that his girlfriend.
I actually don't know.
He's an author. He's got a couple of great books. We've had him on, you know, as guest spots from time to time. He's got a channel. You know, if you look him up. But I think he was saying at one time that his girlfriend is an accountant, or she's in finance, and she's practically drama free as well. So it really depends on the life that you want to build. Like, I always tell guys, like, don't invite unnecessary drama into your life. There's always some it's funny. I actually had a guy from Perth book me for a coaching call a couple of weeks ago. He ended up leaving me a shit review because I didn't tell him what he wanted me to tell him, but he wanted to invite drama into his life. He was, you know, he was with a woman who he was, what was the word that he used? Basically intoxicated by. So a siren, you know, the beauty, intoxicated by her, didn't get along with her, broke up with her a whole bunch of times, you know, had all this drama in his life. And he was looking for me to approve him throwing a baby in her. And it's like, you've got all this trauma right now, dude. You're inviting more. Like, all you're going to do is compound it and throw all these ingredients in a shake, blend it up, and you're going to have a big shit shake that you're going to have to drink for the rest of your life. But guys always like to invite drama. I always say they like to complicate their lives and then justify why they do it. Did you use any other dating apps when you were going through this experiment, or did you just stick straight to this?
Yeah, I just did that while I was doing that. But I will make a point on what you just said just then, Rich, is that one thing that I did find was really helpful about being on that site was that it, like, a lot of guys get completely blinded by a woman's beauty and then just can't see past it. Oh, it's just perfect because of the way that you, because of your appearance. Mm-hmm. And when you're constantly in contact with beautiful women, it just becomes like, whatever, it's just another chick, you know, just another person, you know, that you have to deal with. And so one thing that that site really helped me with personally is the fact that, you know, when I see a beautiful woman, I'm more curious about her, you know, rather than just, oh my god, you're so beautiful, oh, I need to worship you, and all that kind of crap. So, yeah, that's one thing that really, like, if I see a beautiful girl and I want to go and talk to her, it's more out of curiosity. Are you as beautiful on the inside as you are on the outside now, instead of just assuming that they are?
Yeah, that's one of the 16 commandments of Poon, I think. You have to look past her beauty. And I could see how you would arrive at that. It's funny because I made a note here because I wanted to ask you, why did you still want a relationship with one of these women while you were dating? Because as I was reading it, I started to write some notes in the back. And I started to notice this, like, even though you mentioned watching my videos, even mentioned watching Before the Train Wreck. So I'm guessing you were still kind of writing this at the time when the series launched. You also mentioned Rolo stuff. And you mentioned the red pill quite a bit. You mentioned MGTOW. So you've obviously stepped into it. Your channel itself covers it in some depth as well. But I got the distinct feeling as you were describing each woman that you still held on to an old world belief, like almost like a plugged in blue pill belief that maybe you could turn one of these girls into somebody that would look like a girlfriend.
Okay. So I think I probably need to clarify that. I'm not interested in getting married. I just can't see a scenario where I would ever want to get married again. I just think it doesn't work in the year 2020. If you want to do that, I think it's more of a rite of passage. I think for some guys that they have to do it and realize
that.
No,
I didn't get the sense
that
you wanted to get married.
Idea.
I got the sense that you were maybe thinking, maybe I can turn this girl into an LTR. She's funny. We seem to have a lot in common. You know, I'm obviously attracted to her. She's obviously touching me. Like, I got the impression, you know, as you describe many of them, that you felt like this is a girl that I could potentially be in a relationship with.
Yeah. Okay. So
I'm just wondering why you thought that.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to figure out how to answer your question intelligently. I think that you can do this. You can jump on the site and have all the intimate relations that you want with these girls until the end of time. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that would be great and everything like that. But having experienced, I suppose, what you would term like true, like validational, you know, sex, before, like, nothing feels better than that, like having a girl who really, really wants you and really respects you and really admires you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like the basis for any kind of healthy relationship. Like, all this other stuff is kind of great, but the fact of the matter is that we can't, you know, it's like superficial. That it feels a lot better when you actually care about somebody rather than they're just like a disposable object, is what I'm mm-hmm. talking about. I think you can only achieve that by having a, you know, a relationship with somebody, not somebody from the site, because I think you're really, to coin a phrase, pushing shit uphill if you try to do that with a girl, you know, on the site. But, you know, with somebody that like really respects you and really admires you and everything like that, if you could find somebody like that, I think that's going to be a lot. It's, you know, it's the old like quality over quantity type of thing, you know?
Yeah. How did the site or more specifically, how did the experience change you? Like, how did your dating on it and all these encounters you had, like, how do you view the sexual marketplace and women after the fact now, I guess, is the question that I want to phrase.
Yeah. Okay. So I would say that, I think a bit more having actually dealt with these girls and understood where they're coming from and their, you know, personal situations. Cause one thing I really wanted to do is kind of empathize with their situation. I didn't want to just go into and treat them like a piece of meat or whatever kind of thing. I wanted to understand what their motivations were behind doing this. Cause I'm pretty sure that most of them, this isn't the first, like their first, you know, option
rodeo
that they would have chosen to do. Yeah. What's that? Not that either, but it's also not their first option to go and do this, to kind of prostitute themselves.
Yeah.
So like, what is driving them? Why have they become so desperate and everything like that?
Would you actually call it prostitution or?
Look, some of them, like the ones that didn't ask for money, then no, they're not prostitutes. But the ones who are asking for money, and there's a lot of them who are like really, really firm on like, but they don't want to call themselves escorts or prostitutes, you know, but they're pretty much going through the motions of acting exactly like an escort or a prostitute. So, you know.
Yeah, let's be honest. I mean, if you've been on the site for a while, then you're obviously a professional, despite what you want to call
yes.
it. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so, well, what was I talking about? How did it change me? So if anything, I think like when I went into this, I had a fair amount of misogyny about myself. I wanted to kind of like get back at all the women that I'd met on, you know, Bumble and RSVP and everything like that, you know. And I did have a kind of like an exploitative, you know, mission to start off with. Like I wanted to do what I wanted to do and it didn't really matter how these girls were. But the more I spoke to these girls, I kind of realized that everybody has a backstory. No two girls are the same and you kind of have to play whatever's in front of you, but also understand that, you know, I think it really meant more to everybody involved when you bother to take the time to understand where somebody's actually coming from, and you know, use a bit of empathy in your life, you know, instead of just going, oh, I got these girls are just shit, you know, they're just like, you know, screw them and I'll take what I want and everything. It's like, that to me just doesn't feel very nice anyway. Like, I would prefer to get to know somebody anyway, and then make my decisions on, you know, how I feel about them later on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what changed me. The misogyny definitely lessened, and I treat people like I would like to be treated myself, I guess.
So you're no longer a misogynist?
I try not to be.
I had another question in here I marked here. I'm going to find this in a second. Let me grab Mr. C Super Chat. Thanks for that. I do agree that validational intimacy is better than transactional, but there does seem to be some commonality amongst most, if not all, women. Prostitutes are rented, girlfriends are leased, wives are financed. Just a thought. It's like reason, season, lifetime sort of thing, right? Like, this is a reason, this might be a season, and this might be a lifetime if you're lucky, but 50% of the time you're not. So,
I get that.
Is there anything that you wanted to cover that I might have missed or I should have asked you that you want me to ask you while I look for this last question here?
Okay. There is one thing that I suppose I did run a copy of. I'm checking my own notes as well. That one thing I did notice is that we talk a lot about this whole like alpha and beta thing, you know, the whole like alpha seed, beta need kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I noticed there was that some girls are going to consider you alpha and some girls are going to consider you beta. You're like, you're not always alpha and you're not always beta.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea is obviously because like we go, well, what about like James Bond, you know, like what about him? You should always act like James Bond kind of thing. But James Bond is like an archetype. So, and even like people like Arnold Schwarzenegger, who I personally think is like the most alpha guy out there, even he made some silly mistakes and everything with women. Mm-hmm. So I think trying to, as I said before, like girls are going to either view you as beta or alpha. And, you know, if they do see you as alpha, I think a guy has to be kind of like both, has to appeal to both sides of the woman's brain with that instead of just appealing to like the single side in order to feel like more of a person, you know. Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. I found the point here. You said towards the end, I constantly read in their bios that the girls wanted a guy who was a mentor who could teach them something about life. What they're trying to communicate was that they wanted a dominant man, and you did that in caps. They wanted to feel like they'd met somebody of higher social status. It's hypergamy. Mm. They were spelling it out literally in black and white. This is a common theme on platforms like this, where they may be wanting to exchange their time for money. They may want to exchange it for validation, you know, where it's in the sense that it's very enthusiastic and unadulterated. And then there's also the, like women love guys of competency, right? Like men that can get things done, that have skills that they can look up to. I mean, it's part of the reason why one of the things you got to watch out for when you're a successful man in business and you have employees is there's always going to be attractive female employees that are going to try to enter your frame and be intimate with you. But on a site like this, they're kind of expecting it because they look at you as a seasoned gentleman who is obviously senior to them that brings life experiences and skills. How often did you get into conversations with these women about, I don't know, life advice or whatever that might look like for them?
I think there had to be as few and far between, but a lot of them aren't into kind of self-development or anything like that. A lot of them think that, you know, they, how can I describe this? That they've got everything locked away, you know, they're going to university and they got a plan and everything. And it's like, well, is this your plan to be a sugar baby? This is your plan. You know, you might be going and studying accounting or whatever, but like, why are you doing this? You know, you can't do this forever.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of like life advice, like I don't tend to kind of force anything down anybody's throat. if that's what you're talking about. If they asked me, some of them had like, you know, high ideas about starting up their own business, and, you know, I might be able to help them a bit with that. But it was just all like general advice, you know, but I wouldn't go telling, you know, I hate acting like people's therapist when I'm, you know, in a relationship with them or anything like that. So, you know, you have to kind of, you know, it's not what I'm there for, you know. Is that what you're talking about, Rich?
Yeah. Yeah. Just curious as to how often they would look up to you as a mentor, or did they ever try to arrange mentorship with you?
Okay. So like this makes a really good point, because a lot of them did have kind of feminist, even though they're on this website, that these kind of like, they'd obviously been told by feminists that they should be as independent as possible. So I don't know how they kind of
get money for their time.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know how they kind of consolidated this in their mind or reconciled this in their mind, but they consider what they're doing to be kind of like the mark of like an independent, powerful woman, you know, that they're going out and making things happen for themselves. And they actually consider themselves to be in business, the ones that are like, you know, actually making money and everything from sugar daddies and everything. So a lot of them actually consider themselves to be like an equal entrepreneur to you. Like, I'm a businesswoman too. So like, you know, I'm coming into this relationship as equals. I don't know. It's ridiculous. It sounds stupid, but yeah, a lot of them came into that with that attitude. I mean, like rampant feminism is, yeah, it's rampant in Perth. So,
how often did you come across, you know, these women that like, where you ended up perhaps being, you know, the alpha seed part of the equation, but they already had maybe two or three other betas that were placating or financing her business, you know, her entrepreneurial ventures?
I have no idea.
They would admit to that. Did they ever talk about that?
No. Like, I have no idea. And quite frankly, I wasn't really interested in knowing that. You know, I'm not like, oh, so do you have a boyfriend? Like, is there anybody else going on? I don't care. You know?
Was there anything that like shocked you? Like, you're just like, well, I've been on the earth for 42 years. I haven't heard that before.
God, where do I start?
Okay. Well, so there's obviously more than one. So let's end it on this note, because we're coming up on the hour. So give us the top three things that blew your hair back, where you're just like, I can't believe that just happened. Or on my time on this planet, I never saw that conversation, event, whatever, going down.
I'm trying to think. A lot of it was just like the levels of entitlement that a lot of these girls have, especially when they're young and beautiful. They literally think that they can get away with just anything. But the funny thing is, a lot of the older girls, I met this one, she's in the book, Ellie or whatever.
Ellie's in the book,
they still think that they're entitled to the same level of adoration that younger girls have, even though they don't look like younger girls, young women anymore, young beautiful women anymore. So I'm just talking general anymore, because like otherwise I'd be here forever trying to, you know, tell you all like, well, this girl and that girl. But generally speaking, it's like the level of entitlement. I mean, there is one story I have to tell. Like, it's a girl that I met. She wasn't on the site. I met her at a work conference, and it was an Italian girl. But she ended up we just had like a thing going on while the conference was on. But she had all these guys on Facebook, Facebook groups, like throwing money at her and wanting to talk to her. And she was like charging $2,000. For a conversation with her, just a conversation, and there were guys like doing, paying that. And what the way that she had got to the conference was that she convinced one of these guys that it was her birthday, and this guy had rocked up in his car, and like it was her birthday, he went and bought her a leather jacket and a new suitcase and a whole bunch of flowers and $1,000 of spending money, because, you know, it's her first time in Sydney. And I was like, this is like bullshit, you know, this is not true. But there was like a leather jacket and her new like Samsonite luggage like sitting in the corner that this guy had bought. And I was like way in bed, and I'm like going, well, I'm not buying you anything, you forget that, you know. And she's like, yeah, but I like you, so, you know, it's like this guy. And I think she went out with him once for lunch, mm-hmm. and that was it. But this guy must have wasted, I would say, $5,000 on this girl for a lunch date. And I'm just like, I'm glad I'm not that guy. That's all I have to say, you know. So yeah, that was one of the stories,
Yeah, men will do some very, very strange things when it comes to money. I mean, you see the rise of OnlyFans and guys throwing all kinds of money at cam girls. Beta thirst is endless. And anyway, okay, so let's wrap it up on that note. Let me just quickly go through where everybody can find your stuff, because I got your links in. So if you guys go to the top pinned comment of this broadcast, I've licked Stuart's book. It's called Here Be Dragons. It's basically his excursion into using the site for a good 6-7 months. It's a good read. It's interesting. It's it covered, like, you could almost retitle it my journey from the blue pill to the red pill, because you kind of start off describing a very how can I put it? I mean, I don't want you to take this as disparaging, but you basically come off as the typical average frustrated chump beta early on in, you know, your life. You basically did what, you know, the female primary social order is told every man to do, which is be her friend, be nice, bend the knee, and you will get abundant and endless amounts of intimacy and sex from women, especially if you marry them, and it'll never stop. But what you found was quite common. You know, most guys that, you know, believe those comforting lies end up finding out at some point that they're just not true. And that safe world theory shatters, and you go and look for answers and you find videos and other things like this. So I think this is an interesting read from the perspective of somebody that kind of started from essentially being in chains to unchaining himself to a way where he's risen from, you know, the ashes as the phoenix, I would suppose, is probably the best way to put it. You're definitely a changed person the way that I read the book from beginning to end.
Yeah. I did go through a bit of hero's journey, as they call it, but I'm not a hero.
Yeah, there's definitely a Finding Joe element into that. Let me grab your channel again. It's Communicate with Confidence?
Yes, it's cwconfidence.com.
I'm just going to grab your YouTube channel. Confidence computers. How humans communicate with confidence? That's not it.
That's definitely not me. cwconfidence.com.
Yeah, cwconfidence.com. Oh,
it's in my tag thing down the bottom.
Yeah, and if you want to go to his YouTube channel, it's Communicate with Confidence. Very small channel, so go subscribe, show him some support. Grab the book, show him some support. If anybody wants to reach you, they can find you off that website there in the bottom, cwconfidence.com.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Real quick before I go, I got a shout out to my channel sponsor. I'm just going to go full screen. Don't go anywhere yet, Stuart. Tactical Soap. There we go. Over here on my shoulder. We got some new fragrances coming out, actually. And they're incredible. Scott hasn't announced them officially, so I've got some new packaging. They smell incredible. I'll let you guys know when those are out, but this stuff is still available, still a pheromone infused handmade soap. If you come over to coopersoap.com, check out with coupon code Cooper. If you're clicking with the link in the bottom, if you just go to coopersoap.com, it's already applied. High-end product. It supports the creation of content of the work, and you know, Scott's been a good guy to help me continue to do this. Stuart, thanks for joining me today, man.
No worries. Enjoyed it, man.
Yeah. Hang tight when we end the broadcast. I'll talk to you for a couple of minutes. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Give it a thumbs up and leave us a comment below. If there's anybody that you'd like to recommend for a future episode, let me know. See you guys in the next one. Peace.